Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we have the privilege, Lord, to come to a place, Lord, where we can pray, worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for these prayer requests, Lord, that's been lifted up. You know your need. And Father, we know there's physical needs. We know there's mental needs. There's spiritual needs. But Lord, we know that thou art able to meet all these needs, Lord. And Father, because we know you're the great healer, the great physician, the great counselor. You're the mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We're so thankful, Lord, for the teachers and those who have prepared, dear Lord, this morning. We ask that you would touch them, dear Lord, and speak through them, Lord, that we might receive what we need today. We're so thankful, dear Lord, for Cole being saved, dear Lord, and Father, it's another one, Lord, who's been added to the family of God, and we're so thankful for that. And help us to rejoice, Lord. It says that the angels in heaven just rejoice over one, and Lord, they're rejoicing today. We're so thankful, Lord, again, that for our pastor, and ask that you would help him this morning and make it easy, Lord, for him to preach, touch his body, touch his mind, touch his heart. And Father, that you would speak through him this morning. That's what we need. Now go with us through this Sunday school hour. And may we leave here today, Lord, after it's all said and done, saying it's good to be in the house of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 That's exciting, that testimony. And as we covered last week, we hit on the gospel. How today it's watered down, it's a bloodless gospel in many cases, most cases. And we covered 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the 5 points of the gospel, which were Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that's added in there. Number 3, he was buried. Number 4, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Our foundation has to be upon the Word of God. And we in here know enough what the Word of God is. God's inspired, preserved Word for us today is in the Authorized 1611 King James Bible. We know that. We've studied it probably on our own, and we've heard some messages about it. And then the number 5 is according to the scriptures. So then we looked at the other gospels, what they were. You know, ask the main one, ask Jesus into your heart. We covered that and why you got to be careful with that. And then based on Romans 10:13, call upon God in prayer. But again, if the blood is left out, if they don't understand what the cleansing agent is and who that blood flowed from, God manifest in the flesh, then they don't have the right gospel. And the gospel is so simple. You know, you bring it down. I don't care if the guy's an old man, 70, 80 years old, or a young child. As we heard the testimony, you break it down in its simplest form so that even I can understand it. And then you can get it across to a lost person. Now, you're going to have people that are going to argue with you. There's no doubt about this. But when you've got the basics down, when you know where the scriptures are, and you don't have to have the whole Bible memorized. Most of us don't. But you know, in Colossians 1, 14, it talks about the blood in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Just a little thing added on there. And then Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So the Bible gives you the foundation of how we get forgiveness. It's through the blood. And then Romans 3:24 and 25, it talks about being justified freely by the grace, by His grace. Again, it's grace in every dispensation. But in this dispensation, it's grace through His blood that we have redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And God had set forth Christ to be a propitiation. And these big words, you can break them down for someone. You know, a propitiation, to appease, to buy back, as if something you had in a pawn shop and you go back and you buy it back. So today we'll pick up why are these wrong, and how do we how do they compare to the true gospel? And remember, all of these false gospels are of deceit and guile. They deceive the people, and they're just not right. And many are said to just to please men, and many are flattering words and a cloak of covetousness. And so many saved people today, Christians, don't want to be offensive to someone else. We've come through 30, 40 years or so of political correctness, and we don't want to be offensive. And when I talk about being offensive, I'm not talking about blatantly coming on and being rude and crude. That's not what I'm talking about. And unfortunately, I've seen that over the years, especially in people that just got saved. They'll come on and they'll just blab out something. You're going to hell. You're dressed like a whore. How can you think that you're even saved? Or, you know, why aren't you in church like I'm in church? And so forth.
The thing is, I think, is I've seen, I presume, individuals who've probably been saved for years who use that same approach. I remember at Kent State University, which is very liberal. I don't know what you want to call him. Anyways, preacher, I guess, comes in, and you could speak in the common area, and he just blasted everybody, and all it really did was turn into a game between the students trying to mock him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he really... I don't think he really accomplished anything.
No, just turned people off.
Yeah. And, I mean, one of the guys, he called it terrorist track Christians.
Yeah.
Basically, you give a thing that says you're going to hell, and you give them a track. And like, well, that could be accurate, because you don't actually know the individual. But I'll be honest, if that's how you start a conversation with me, or if you started it, you're an idiot.
No. Exactly.
I'm probably not going to truly listen to what you say.
And you're right. 99% of the people are not going to listen to a preacher that comes on like that. But you have to show the love of Christ through you. And there's a time to use that sword as an offensive weapon, but not when you're trying to win them. If you get some smart aleck that's, you know, wants to argue with you, and you try and, if you get someone like that, you try and get them alone. You don't do it in front of people. You avoid that. Avoid all appearances of evil. And you don't want to hurt your testimony. So
that's the best time to use a good testimony.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a good testimony, and you can start out a lot of that conversation concerning your testimony and just what the Lord did for you, that takes a lot of the feeling that person thinks they're being attacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll take that feeling away.
And you want to avoid that as much as possible.
I guess maybe I shouldn't say what I'm fixing to say, but in one of the former churches, me and two other people who would work with the missions and also with the, I was the treasurer of the church. I was put treasurer of the church because the guy that was over, he was in a motorcycle accident. And we weren't sure if he's going to live or die.
Yeah.
And so they temporarily put me in to see, and then, of course, I was put in there permanently. And we were doing some things to, you know, to do for the church, just checking some things out. But when it come down to this situation with the one who used to be the treasurer, the pastor of the church, and like I said, I'm not going to mention names.
Right.
But one Sunday he got up, and I mean, he just literally just blasted us in front of everybody. Yeah. And I mean, he just like he was stark raving mad at the world. And I sat there and thought to myself, I said, "Now, this ain't going to happen.
No.
if this is the way it's going to be, you can keep this, you can keep the church, you can do everything yourself then."
Yeah.
Because all we were doing was what was right.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, God my witness. All we were doing was what one of the ladies at the bank told us to do. And then within 3 weeks' time, I was with him. And then he turns around, and here he blasts us in front of everybody.
Uh-huh.
And then he turns around and tells me that he was trying for 2 years to get this guy out of the treasury.
Wow.
And there's a lot more things that went on, and I'm just thankful, I really am, that God led us here after we left the mountains. I said, because I couldn't go back there.
No.
Because I found out more things that was going on, and the people there, he's got them buffaloed and got them fooled, I'm afraid.
Yep.
How do I say this? You know, the gospel message should be the same in every way. You know, you got some preachers have got that screaming, yelling, stomping, all that other stuff. Then you got these guys that are hacking preachers that you can't understand the thing they're saying because, and then you got these other preachers that, you know, and it depends, I guess, upon the individual, you know, and how do you gauge that? I mean, when I listen to a preacher, I'm trying to imagine is, now, would Jesus offer the gospel that way? Would he be sitting up there spewing and snarling and running across or you know, how would Jesus present the gospel? And would he do it, just a few of us that are in here, how could one man present the gospel that would be presentable and acceptable to all of us?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you have to adjust your spirit to what is being presented.
Yeah. The way I handle it is, when it comes to a preaching, teaching, I say, Lord, give me from this message or this teaching what you would have me to have. Let me forget about his personality. Is it the word of God that I'm receiving, whether I receive it from, you know, the breathing preachers, and some of those are funny, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I enjoy listening to some of them. I don't really enjoy the loud screaming type preacher because it takes away from the message that he's presenting. He may have a great message, but it's it diminishes from it, unfortunately. So I just ask the Lord to give me what he would have me to have, and let me try and forget about the personality and the type of delivery that's coming.
In teaching, I'm not going to say preaching because I'm not a preacher, but in teaching, one thing they emphasize is you need to try to hit the widest variety of individuals at their level. If you dumb it down too little, you're not going to be effective, except for that. On the other hand, if you raise it to the heights, you're not going to be very effective. So in a strictly personal opinion, is to me, when you preach, you should try to be preaching at a level.
Right.
I'm not saying change your content, at a level where the vast majority of the people can understand. some degree are comfortable with, in a sense that it's not the message that disturbs them, but
right. Unfortunately,
when I was sitting one time in a church, and the lady behind me stood up and gave off a wild yell. I about jumped out of my seat. That was just not my comfort. Now, if you're in a church where that is
common,
yeah, that's one thing. But that's one reason why I don't sit in front of Brother Melvin.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, if you present it at one level, you're only getting to one group.
Right.
If you're presenting it to the bottom, you're getting a less group.
Yeah.
But I think when you hit that medium, and it's one thing they try to tell us in teaching, I presume in preaching you should, I mean, unless God directs you otherwise.
Right. And you're right, because we're all at different levels spiritually. Some of us are still in grade school, some, what do they have, middle school, high school, college. We understand different things in Scripture differently. And it needs to be geared, first of all, so you can reach everyone. You can't just preach strong doctrine all the time and expect everyone to get it. You've got to have everything covered. And then teaching or preaching, you also need, your delivery needs to be, when necessary, calm, cool. And then other times when you're emphasizing something, you can get that up there so that you're emphasizing what you're trying to get across. So you're right.
I guess, when I see pastors who, I don't see talking, but who just run up and down the stage, I'm not talking walking, I'm talking running, and this. I wonder whether they're really trying to say, look at me. We had an individual who was a pastor at the school, and gets up and does this, like, step dance, Irish step dance, or tap dancing, and when I see it, I'm thinking, you're saying, look at me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's possible that he is really feeling it, I'm not going to, but as a member of the audience looking at that.
And that'll fit into some societies where others won't.
Yeah, and I go to HBCU, so
I'll yeah, guess. Yeah. You know, you can't take you've heard black preachers, and some of those are great preachers, but you get some of them that are mostly dancing up there all the time and jumping around, and you know, that's fine if that's how you've been brought up, that's your culture, that's fine. Not a problem with that. But you can't do that everywhere because it doesn't fit in. But yeah, we have to be careful when we teach, when we preach, when we witness, that we're not being offensive. Now, what about you're driving along at night, you're going home, and you see a house on fire? What are you going to do? There's nobody else around. You're going to stop. You're going to bang on the door, maybe kick the door in. Or are you going to say, I don't want to offend the people, so I'll just let the house burn? You know, it's the same thing. A person's on his way to hell, or you don't know. But your job is to witness to that person or let them end up in the devil's hell. That's our position. You're driving along at night, it's kind of stormy, and you're going along slow, and you come to a bridge, and that bridge is out. You stop, and what are you going to do? The cars are coming, you're going to wave them down, or, no, I don't want to offend anybody, so you let them go over into the ravine. So there is a time to be offensive, but you be offensive in the right way. Presenting the gospel message can be offensive, but don't let it be offensive because of our attitude, the way we present things. And that's all I'm saying in that that area. The true gospel is offensive to the lost person in many cases. When you tell a person that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and you give them the scriptures for it, 1 Timothy 3:16 will tell you that, and then 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one mediator between God and man. That's Christ Jesus. Now there you'll offend a lot of Catholics, okay? I can say that. You know, I was a Roman Catholic for 27 years. And what do you mean? Mary, yeah, I go to Mary, I pray to Mary. You know, not what the Bible says. Let me walk you through this and then give me your arguments. So Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. He came for a purpose. He died for your sins. Oh, you call me a sinner? That'll offend people. I'm a sinner? What do you think? You're so great? You don't sin? Christ died for your sins. Romans 3:23 and Romans 5:12. All have sinned. Romans 3:23. We know those. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So sin passed upon all men. So we're all sinners. I'm not saying you're any worse than I am, although you probably are. No, that couldn't be. Not when I think back. But anyway, we're all sinners. In order to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God, we have to have a payment for that, and we'll cover that in a minute. And then he rose from the dead, according to the scriptures. Nobody's going to rise from the dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. It's all over with. But you present the gospel anyway. And, you know, when they say something like that, you tell them that even the Bible says that there were above 500 people that witnessed him, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead. Now, how are you going to deny that? You're going to tell me Abraham Lincoln was alive? You're going to tell me Napoleon Bonaparte was alive? Who's alive here that ever saw them, other than me? Mm-hmm. Nobody. So how do you know? Because there's witnesses. And that's how you know. So the Lord Jesus Christ, you present all these facts to him in the proper way. According to the scriptures, it says there's a blood atonement to pay for your sins. And you must trust in that blood atonement. That means you come to God for salvation through a sacrifice. Now, we're not good enough to pay that sacrifice, so somebody had to pay that for us. And who was it? It could only be God himself. And you think back, Isaac going to sacrifice his son? Or
Abraham
going to sacrifice his son? And he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now himself, does that mean a sacrifice for himself, or does that mean he himself will be the sacrifice? And it's both of those. It's both of those. He provided it and he was it. God manifest in the flesh. So as we see these false teachings today, there's nothing mentioned about the sacrifice. They'll tell you, well, just ask God for forgiveness. All right. Just because you ask for something, does that mean you're going to get it? John, give me $1 million. Is that going to happen?
Say please.
I checked your bank account. I know. No, just because you ask for something doesn't mean you're going to get it. When you ask God for forgiveness, does that mean you're going to get it just because you ask for it? Not if it's not done the proper way. If you haven't been explained the gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the blood that washes your sins away, if you don't have all those components there, then how is he going to forgive you? You're not coming through the sacrifice he provided. So it has to be through that sacrifice, through the cleansing blood. And you know, as I said a few weeks ago, you hold this out. This is salvation. Danny, this is for you. I've provided this salvation for you. Until you, by faith, after hearing the truth, reach out and take it, it's not yours. It's been provided for you, but it's not yours.
Well, I think some of those goes back to your Roman Catholic, but they've done away with this. But I remember that originally, when you ask for forgiveness, you're not really forgiven until you do the penance. So in other words, you have to do that work.
And the rosary.
Or you could buy your indulgence and
Your
way out of purgatory. To the same thing.
But then after all of that, John, then they, because, you know, they're convicted by this. You know, because witnessing to family members, the first thing they want to do is get mad.
Yeah.
Throw up your past.
Oh, yeah.
And then you present scriptures. And then they attack the scripture. As well, this is just something that was written by man. Yeah. They picked, they choose what they wanted in this book.
And that'll never change. Mm-hmm. And how do you remedy that? If they're set in their ways, you're not going to, no matter what you say, is going to convince them. You just present the truth and say, this is the way God laid it out. And there's nothing more you can say, because it'll lead to an argument. And you'll just have to pray that God will take what you said and convict them over time. And it's frustrating sometimes, disheartening, but there's nothing more we can do about that. It just maintain your testimony. You know, I'm 75 years old. My past would be thrown up to me by my brother. You did this. You did that. Yeah, I did a lot more than you know about, too. but I got right because I seen what the Word of God says, and I got under conviction, and I trusted in the sacrifice that God provided. And so we'll leave it there. And if you come up with anything else, well, nobody's around, so it's a slow day. So the picture that I have is a judge. You're standing before a judge, okay? And as I said, if you want forgiveness, you need to believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you got the guy here, please forgive me, let me go. And the only way you're going to be let go is through that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you all know, we should be able to walk someone through Scripture without any problem now, because it's all basic. Keep everything in its simplest form. All right, let's finish up there, and then we'll pick up on verse number 6 next week or the week after, whenever we're in here again. Ben, pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us another day. We thank you for the ones that are in church this morning. And Lord, I know we need to be in prayer for the ones that can't come to church today or choose not to for whatever reason. But Lord, you know what's going on in their lives, and we don't know what's going on. And sometimes we can't help them, but Lord, you sure can. And we just want to just stay in prayer for those folks and just be what we need to be and be there for them as much as we can. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the help that we had in class this morning. We want to thank you for the ones that just do things that they should be doing. We want to thank you for the good parents that are setting a good foundation in their homes for their children. And Lord, just pray that you'll help these young folks in this world. It's a tough world for them, Lord, and just thank you for all the children that are in this church and the young teens and all the young folks that are standing strong and being faithful. Lord, we're looking forward to the good preaching today. We pray that you'll help the man of God bring the word. And Lord, we thank you, we love you, and just praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.